Hola and welcome back to Vos Memos. Today's topic is all about zines. If you're watching, I hope you are enjoying the visual delight behind me. That is my new zine tabling display. I have been waiting for the opportunity to use this giant Target cardboard box that arrived at my boyfriend's doorstep a few weeks ago, and inspiration struck, and now I have a beautiful zine display. It has little pockets in the front and on both sides that can hold all different sizes of zines, and it's got like a table on the inside. It looks like, if you're just listening to the audio, it looks like a little market stand. And my big inspiration was these cat market boxes that people are making. I don't know if you're on the cat Instagram side of things, but a lot of cat owners are upcycling boxes into little play places for their cats, but they make the outside look like a little ice cream shop or a bookshop, and then their cat's head peeks out and it looks like they're running the store. It's adorable. So that was my idea with my zine store. And behind the zines, if I do end up running out, there's like little doodles of what are in these little window boxes. And so it's cute with or without zines, but the zines really make it feel like fun and inviting. And I'm hoping that when I go to my next zine event, which is in February at the Hennepin Central Library in downtown Minneapolis, I'm hoping that I'll meet a lot of fun people and they'll read my zines. So anyway, all that to say, today's episode is about how zines have really cured my perfectionism or my perfectionist tendencies as an artist, in my career, and I mean, just as a form of self-care, it has let me just express my feelings and then also learn how to just be happy with a product. I don't have to make everything perfect. And so if any of that sounds interesting to you, let's get into it. Alrighty, so I have been gone for a while. The holidays is just has become more of a thing for me than any other year before. I went to my boyfriend's for Thanksgiving, and then I went down to hang out with my boyfriend's family for a Christmas party this past weekend. So it's just been a lot of traveling every other weekend for the past like 4 or 5 weeks. I feel like it's just been a lot more traveling, and then I'm going to be traveling to Oklahoma to see my grandma for Christmas. So my plan for this podcast is when I come back from Oklahoma, I'll record the 50th episode, and then I'll actually go on my real break in January to kind of decide what season 3 is going to look like, which is crazy to say that we're going to have a season 3 coming up here for Vos Memos. But if you've just joined and you're liking my vibe, I would highly recommend subscribing on whatever platform you're listening to, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or YouTube. I try to post biweekly. This year I've been a little more relaxed about that, but I mean, the podcast has just been a great way to talk about books I like, talk about zines, and this year AI was a big focus. Before I get too far into this podcast, I am going to say what a zine is, in case you don't know. A zine is a mini self-published magazine, and it has its roots in activism and like subversive subcultures. And I mean, there's a lot of like queer expression through zines, but basically they can be about anything. There are a couple different categories known to zine makers, like per zine is like a personal zine. It's about a personal story. Like a fan zine is about something that you're a fan of. Like I have an X-Files one that I think that would be classified as a fan zine. But, and then there's poetry zines, there's comics. Comics kind of like, they're, maybe zines could be a subset of comics. But also some comics could be a subset of zines. So they can be about anything. They can be highly illustrated. They can be handwritten. They can be photocopied. They're very DIY and just fun. So that's the definition of a zine, which kind of takes me into my latest zine, which I wanted to cover in this episode. And this is the part where I kind of get into career and the intersection of perfectionism, zines, and career. So this zine is titled Do Not Forward This Zine, and I will insert some close-up shots if you're watching. But basically, the cover is a post-it note with little flying airplanes, Do Not Forward This Zine. And this zine is dedicated to all my corporate girlies. Hang in there. You have some PTO coming up soon. So my inspiration for this zine was basically that I was bored out of my mind at work. And work has just been kind of soul-crushing recently. It's not stressful. It's just boring. And I am really ready for my next step career-wise, and I'm just kind of in this lull, not quite qualified to jump positions, but definitely a little overqualified for what I'm currently doing. So it's getting boring. I'm really excited to take the PMP, the Project Management Professional certification, in late January of 2026, because I think that will help me kind of get to the next stop career-wise, and it is like something to do in the downtime is study for that. So let's see, I'll do a little bit of a reading. And then if you want to get some more of the artwork, you can go to my blog. I'll try to get this up there pretty soon. So first spread, some people like creating slides or writing business requirements, but nothing about my job excites me. ROI ideas, sales will increase, business. Sorry, I had to look busy. Anyway, does anyone think this, or am I just not in the right job? I guess I better get back to my to-do list. It's only 11 a.m. They don't give me anything to do. I'm grateful my job is easy, but oh my god, I am dying of boredom. And the to-do list is send email, read email, order sushi, eat sushi, go home. And I have had a day like this where I was looking forward to lunch at like 9 a.m., and then the next spread is kind of a music player playing Brat, and the title is Brat, except you have a 9-to-5. Because, I mean, I still am listening to Brat all the time, and I resonate deeply with that album, but I'm definitely not a 365 party girl. I am a 9-to-5 corporate girl, and it just doesn't feel that Brat sometimes, you know? And so the spread here says, I'm listening to my music in between calls to drown out everyone else, or to avoid the weird lulls of silence, or the sneezes, slurps, and chomps. They said return to the office to collaborate, but I can't think here. And then the headphone, there's like a little headphone call set that says, sorry, I'm having technical difficulties. Bye! And then this next spread I'm particularly proud of. This next spread here is titled, I Don't Care. And everything's on fire. The outside's on fire. My phone's on fire. The laptop's on fire. And there's like an urgent request. And what I'm trying to say with this spread is just like, some days you look at the news and you're like, why does this email matter? Like, why does the typo on slide 3 matter? Like, there are people dying outside. There's a shooting that's happening a few streets away. They can't agree to any meaningful legislation in Congress, and then I'm having to reply to somebody's email about the dumbest question I could possibly think of, and it's just like, at some point I don't care, but I have to care because that's what they pay me to do, so I'm replying to the email. And then this is one of my favorite spreads. I've been doing this a lot where I just put my hands on my face and like pull my face down to show distress, which is probably very bad for my skin, but it makes people laugh because they're like, oh my god, it's like so dramatic. And this spread is called PowerPoint is not responding. Would you like to save an offline copy? Yes, or kill me. And my questions here are, why am I the designated IT person on the team? Does every day need to be a battle with these cursed softwares over the simplest tasks? And some people are lying on their resume about their Microsoft skills. And I'm reading the zine back. I still resonate with all of this. I mean, this week for corporate people is kind of a joke. They won't let, they won't give us the days off. You have to have PTO to take these days off. But there is nothing to do the week before Christmas. And then the last spread here brings us back to AI. And this podcast is very anti-AI. So regarding how I feel about AI at work, one, current AI generative models are built on stolen data, use insane levels of energy, and participate in many other unethical practices. AI has very limited use cases and makes low quality output. And then three, creatives should be anti-AI. As a creative, I don't use AI in my creative process. I won't turn to AI to do creative tasks at work either. And then four, my goal at work is to use AI as little as possible while still showing I am a fast learner, adaptable, and other corporate bullshit. Further reading if you want to be more mad about current state of technology. And I'm recommending here The New Age of Sexism by Laura Bates, which goes into how AI is inherently sexist. It's a great read and a depressing read. And then the last page here is, this zine could have been an email. Thanks for reading, best, Angela. And I have this great little graphic of like a little conference room being tucked into an envelope. And then on the back, going with that sticky note theme, I have all my links and plugs. And so this zine started out as ballpoint pen on lined paper. And it was just me doodling, trying to get through my office time for that day. And to me, it really showed me how far I've come in my zine process, where I know things don't have to be perfect. And it's also shown me, like, anything can be a zine. It's just interesting to see how far I've come. Because my first zine that I ever made, My Life as a Teenage Girl, Only 23 Years Old, was kind of about like how when you graduate college, you have an existential crisis and everything's different and you feel like you don't know how to do anything. And then eventually, like, you kind of find your way. And it took me probably a year before I felt confident enough to print it out. And now I'll make a zine in a week if I feel like I have an idea for one. And I'm not too worried about, like, making it absolutely perfect. I mean, the back cover here, I wish it was a little more centered. There's a lot of things in here where I'm like, oh, I wish this was a little better. But the whole concept of zines is that they are self-published. They are low budget. They are DIY. And they don't have to be perfect. That kind of defeats the whole point of a zine. The imperfections make the zine unique. And that's kind of what I was going with my display here, is trying to make it quirky and fun and realizing this does not have to be perfect clean lines. It should be creative. I want to be coloring outside of the lines a little bit when I'm making my zines. And so, like, if I think back on the zines I've made, at first I started very, like, very laid out, perfect text. I was using Canva a lot to digitize my text. I wouldn't really do, like, handwritten zines unless, like, yeah, like, this first one, I did do the text, but, like I said, it took me a year to feel good about it. And then with this I Want to Be a Bitch zine, all the text is from Canva, and I spent a long time laying it out, and I remember thinking, like, ugh, it's so annoying that I can't print borderless, so there's, like, a white border on the pages, and I just decided, like, fine, whatever. But I was always, like, wondering, like, how can I make that better? And then another one that's very, like, editorialized, I don't know if that's the right word, but my Eat the Rich Eatery. I talk about this zine a lot because it's about how Taylor Swift is a billionaire. And I actually made an update to this zine. So I will be selling a new version of it at my next zine fest that has more updated statistics. But because, can you believe this zine is like a year old, or maybe more than a year old? So anyway, with this zine, everything is like completely perfect with, like, the formatting and the margins. And there was actually several people that kind of tried to skip over this zine at my booth my last Zine Fest because they thought it was an actual menu. It's not a menu. It just looks like a menu, but it looks that good that some people are like, oh, that's not a zine, that's a menu. And then my first real breakaway where, like, I finally was like, zines do not have to be, like, this perfect. And, of course, like, there's a spectrum, right? Like, your zines can be scribbles on a page or it can be, like, full-blown comics that are professionally printed and they're just self-publishing them. They're selling them at a zine fest. What I needed from zines is to learn to not have, it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to have these like beautiful margins and like very like advanced typography and all that. So with this woman artist zine, this was a pure experiment where I spent the whole month before my 24th birthday, just drawing every single day. And I wasn't using pencil. It had to be pen so that, like, any mistake was going to be part of the doodle. And I learned a lot in this one where, like, I realized, like, the imperfections make it cool. And I love all of the doodles that made it into this zine. And I could not replicate it if I tried because, I mean, for example, the last page, I only got that texture because the marker I was using was running out. So it's like, again, another example of like the imperfections make it perfect. And that's what's so great about zines is like it really challenges any like perfectionist tendencies you have and flips it on its head. It's like, no, the reason the zine is cool is because it's not perfect. That's why you have to like stop thinking like that if you really want to get into zines. Or at least the zines will help you stop thinking like that. And then finally, like, my last example here is my patio garden tour zine, which is basically the complete opposite of that first zine that I made, which was when I first graduated college. And this one is completely handwritten. I still did it on my iPad, so I was able to, like, erase things and make straight lines if I wanted to. But it's highly illustrated. And, I mean, some of the text is a little hard to read because I wanted it to be my actual handwriting and I wanted it to feel like a little journal. And it does. It feels like it has a lot of personality to it. And I mean, it is my experience with growing a garden on my little patio on the pool deck. And I even put like a real picture of myself in it because I felt like if it's going to be a personal zine, I wanted it to just feel very authentically me. And so I just feel like those zines really show my flow as I've developed my zinester personality. At first I was an extreme perfectionist and that's fine. Those zines, I love them. They look good. I'm happy with them. But I feel like they've just gotten more and more zine-y. If that's not really a word, but they have, because I've learned like this is just a pure form of creative expression and a very healthy form of it. And it's really unlocked something for me as an artist, because I feel like there was a long time where I was just like, well, that's not good enough to post on Instagram. Like, I don't really like that. I'm like deleting this off of my Instagram. And now I just make zines. I don't post on Instagram anymore. I'm free of that whole thing. And then I'm also free to just follow a weird path and like figure things out as I go. I'm not saying it that get rid of all your perfectionist tendencies and never make a second draft and never edit anything. Like, that's not what I'm saying at all, because I have this, but I still love technology zine. And there's definitely pages in here where I want to reformat it. It's a little tight on the margins. And it's a poetry zine, so I'm not going to handwrite all of these poems, although maybe I could. I do want to make a part two. I want to make a 2.0 because I have new poems that I want to add. So, like, I still will be editing. I still will be revising. But I'm also happy with how this one turned out. And I felt confident enough to put it out there. People have bought this one. Like, I probably sold, like, 10 or 15 copies of this zine. People are really drawn to it, and I feel comfortable with them having that version because it's a zine. It doesn't have to be perfect, and it really reflected my feelings at the time. And now, as I have developed more relationship with technology and there's been new technologies that have come out, I want to make an updated version of this scene. So, I mean, that's the beauty of self-publishing, is like I can always make a new version if I want, because it's my own work and I'm printing it from my own printer. So if you have never made a zine before, this is your sign to make a zine, to explore a new side of yourself, to battle perfectionism. We don't need to be perfect, especially if it's like your first zine. It's like, make an ugly zine, okay? I love every zine that I've made, but like, you don't even have to like print them out and give them away. Like, you can just make it for yourself. I like printing them out and going to these zine fests because then I get to see people resonate with my zines. But I've had people at the zine fest like come and trade with me, and they just have one zine that they've made and they want to trade it and get it circulating. So the Zinester community is so open to anyone, like questions. There's like a million different like subreddits on it. I like the zine community on Blue Sky. And I mean, you can also get plugged in at local places. There's a bookshop near me that runs like a zine club, and I still haven't gone, but it's definitely on my list to do in 2026 is go to the zine club at a local bookstore. I think that's really cool. My library is extremely plugged in with zines, and they run like zine readings, and then they run the zine fest that I'm going to in February. So there's just so many ways to get plugged in, meet local people, meet other creative people, or just people that like expressing themselves in creative ways. So highly recommend. And then my last point about how zines have saved me from perfectionism is about my Etsy shop, which I have toyed with opening an Etsy shop for years and years. Like, I am a creative person and I have things that I could sell on Etsy, but I never opened a store because I felt like none of my stuff was going to live up to my own expectations for that type of product, whether it would be like jewelry or drawings or commissions or whatever, coloring sheets. There's always something that I was like, well, let me just like make it a little better and then I would sell it. And the zines, which is going to be my primary product on Etsy, they don't have to be perfect. And that's the expectation, is that they're not perfect. And so it's really allowed me to like start my Etsy shop and I can go from there. Like, I am ready to put some greeting cards on Etsy, but it was just too big of a hurdle to be like, well, I'm opening my Etsy shop to put greeting cards on there. I was like, baby steps. I'm opening my Etsy shop. I'll put all my zines on there. Then I'll put my greeting cards on there. And then who knows? I could be selling like a million different things by the end of next year. But for now, I'm taking it slow. I am like still working on the perfectionist part with like these listings, because I'm like, ugh, I have to take a picture of all my zines now. But at least that's a much lower hurdle than every product I make has to be completely perfect. And if I'm selling it for money, it has to be like flawless and like B-tier and A-tier products. Like, no, it's just zines. People want the little quirks to them. So that's my rant or inspirational monologue about how zines have somewhat cured my perfectionism. And if you liked it, if you liked this episode, please go listen to my backlog or subscribe, and I'll see you in a few weeks. Bye.